Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Hey, great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, whatever the weather out there, wherever you are, whatever the time of the day, it is time to sit back, relax, join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Bit of AC/DC to start our afternoon off.
Yes, it goes with music too. It's absolutely. How are you surviving with this weather? I mean, I love it. I'm wrapped up in the city here and got nothing to worry about. But
the weather's the same. Well, it's just like it is everywhere, isn't it? you know.
No trees down or?
No. The neighbours had a few trees down though. But one thing I have actually been watching with this weather are the ponies. They get a little bit scared sometimes with that. We had some huge thunder rolls. I've never heard them like that in my life before. They went on and on and on. And so I must say that with this weather, I do go out, whether it's the middle of the night or when, usually, hopefully, no. I don't actually go out in the middle of the night anymore. I go out earlier in the night and I'll actually put them in the stable.
I was going to say, bring them up to the barn or put them in the stable or something. Because they're scary, particularly those lightning strikes are massive. They're so huge.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like it. We had fun with Coast Guard the night before last. There was all the porta-coms and cars and everything that was thrown into the water and... we're responsible for ensuring human safety, and so we were having to check everywhere and make sure there were no people and anything that was being thrown into the water and that. So
wow.
It was quite a mess up, yeah. And the lightning strikes were just so awesome. I mean, they're just huge.
Incredible, eh? Mm. Yeah. And it's quite neat to actually see that. And I always wonder, did we see that as a kid? But then I thought, well, actually, we were probably tucked up in bed by then.
I know, but I don't think that New Zealand's ever had such big lightning. It's normally something that you see up in the islands. It's a sort of a tropical type thing. And in Malaysia, the whole sky just lights up for hours with their lightning. But this is the first time I've actually seen it in New Zealand. But hey, maybe I'm wrong, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly. I always think of these things. You know, we go, oh, way back in our day, it wasn't like this. But sometimes I wonder, you know, was it because we were tucked up in bed or was it because we were protected from that particular thing or whatever else? But anyway, everybody seems happy and it's drying out a little bit. Had enough of the rain, you know.
Thank you so much for those eggs that you brought around to my place the other day.
Oh, now, I've got a thing to say about that.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know, and for our listeners out there, you heard us last week. I'd forgot to bring them in, so I did go and drop the eggs off at Irene's. I was in a huge hurry, and I was starving, and she gave me chicken soup, but not chicken soup that I could eat, drink, whatever you do with chicken soup, in the car. And so I had to, driving to the place where I had to go, I had to sit there and... you know, smell this wafting, this beautiful waft of chicken soup. And my tummy started to grumble. And then, anyway, I did the training session, and this was like 4 hours later, and I get back in the car, and the car's nice and warm and smelling of yummy chicken soup. Yet, I have to drive all the way home before I can finally have your chicken soup. And it was very nice, thank you. So next time, I think a cup is in order.
Okay.
Probably a cup with a top on it.
If you stop long enough for me to do that, then you say, oh, you were in such a rush.
I know. But gosh, it was so funny. But you know when you're really starving and you just, that food smell just wafts through and your tummy starts grumbling and you haven't got time to stop.
Yeah. Actually, I don't mind that chicken soup. It's cold, so.
Now she tells me. Although I don't think I could have slurped it out of that dish. It could have been interesting.
Oh, well. So how are your chickens surviving the storm? Did you bring that chicken music in for me? Remember that?
Oh, you and your chicken music. I'm not dancing to that. You know, you're not getting me up dancing yet. You know, they're surviving, actually. And it's interesting with the animals, and especially with the chickens, because they get a bit grumpy in this weather, actually, and they don't lay. Isn't it funny? You kind of think when an egg comes, it's, you know, you haven't got too much choice about it, but they must do. They kind of, don't want to do this.
Probably relaxed, comfortable, and they let things happen, and when they're uptight and nervous, and just like we do.
Maybe so.
Now, tell me more about your PhD that you're going down to Dunedin to do. It's not something that I have any experience with. Tell me what you're doing.
That's a little bit of a secret at the moment.
Oh.
But I will tell you about the journey. It is an interesting journey, actually. Probably by another couple of months, I'll be able to really tell you about what's happening in regards to that. But it is an interesting journey because you get it here in New Zealand, you get accepted as an applicant, as a potential PhD candidate. And at the time you're accepted, you pay all your fees.
Right.
And everything else, you know, so they're very happy to take that. And then generally what happens for kind of 6 to 9 months, you put together a proposal to say this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to do it, and this is why it's important and that it's unique as well. And then you have to present that proposal, and only then will they tell you whether you're worthy to do your PhD.
to do the course?
Well, to do the actual research and to actually do it. So,
right.
So I have been through that. I've done my presentation. And so I'm now a real, real student. And
So what happens if they decide they don't like your proposal? Do you get your money back?
No, you get another 6 months to it's not so much what the doesn't matter what the topic is, but it's whether is this unique?
Right.
And have you thought carefully how you're going to do it and is that appropriate for the type of research you're going to do? So the biggest part of it is the uniqueness in your PhD. So
that's fair enough, really, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, you don't want people all writing about the same thing and then how do you judge it? So, yeah.
Yeah, and basically that's what a PhD is versus a master's, where a master's is you might research a little bit further that something's done or that someone else has already done, but your PhD is something where there's a gap. So there might be something quite close to it. It might be something that's been done in another country but not in a local context.
Oh, well done you. I'm really interested and really looking forward to hearing more about this further down the track when you're allowed to talk about it.
Great. So, no, it is quite exciting. And a little bit daunting as well. It's 3 years. That's full time. So,
3 years. And you go down to Dunedin how often?
I probably go down about once a month.
Okay.
Or once a month, month every 6 weeks or so. Kind of just while I'm getting my feet on the ground.
It's very, very demanding for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's something different though, eh? You know?
And here I am doing all the Coast Guard, training exercises and things and saying, I'm struggling so hard with the whole learning concept. You know, I haven't had to go back to school and learn anything for such a long time and trying to get my brain into this, you know, learn, retain and put it into practice thing is quite a hard thing to go back to. You know, you remember when you used to do it.
And, well, that's actually, I've just recently also completed a certificate in adult literacy and numeracy. And they talk about that, but with a lot of the training I do, I talk about it as well, because we do take in information quite differently. And also, depending on our experience at school, to whether we even want to go back to any type of education. And if people have had a really bad experience at school, it's a real barrier to even sitting there where you kind of have to do it. But I think generally as an adult student, you have different priorities of being there. You know, you're there for yourself. You're not there because you have to be there. Well, I suppose unless it's a work thing. But generally speaking, it's something that you want to do.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe I need a private lesson with you, because certainly my school experience was very, very short. I mean, school C, whatever that's equivalent to nowadays, I did manage to get that. But
same, and that was it.
And that was it. But that was, from 14 on, I put myself through high school. So the learning side of it was limited, really, to what I wanted it to do. So I guess I don't have those ingrained good habits childhood.
No, I left before I got kicked out, so probably no different. I think it's when we, as an adult, when we learn, it's about, well, I suppose it's also about the trainer or whomever it is that's teaching you to how they put that information forward. Like, I will often retain information a lot more if it's in a story.
Right.
Because that works for me. Reading, kind of a whole lot of words, it goes in one ear, well, kind of one eye, it goes, I suppose I can say one eye and out the other. I'm a very visual person, so you show me pictures and talk to it, I will kind of see that a lot more.
I'm finding if I experience it, like, you know, at the moment I'm trying to learn local area, so I have to learn all of the harbour right out to Great Barrier and as far north as we cover. And I've got this book that's got everything beautifully mapped and marked, and I can sit there and study that book over and over and over again and not retain one tenth of what I'm reading. And then I go out there in the boat and it's like, oh, okay, I know that bay, I know what that buoy is, I know what that light is, I know what this is. So when I see it visually and experience it, I retain it.
Yeah, so those are then obviously your preferred learning styles, or the way you take in information. So that there's kind of four that they talk about. So your visual, your oral, read, write and kinesthetic. So you've got the visual there and the kinesthetic. So, and for a lot of people too, if you do it, you'll get it. You know, it's like that. And you know when, if Jeff and I drive somewhere, we can drive there 100 times. Now, if he's driving, I'm not taking notice of where we're going because I'm busy doing other stuff.
Yep.
Now, when it's my turn to drive there, suddenly I think, oh, where is it? But I've been there 100 times, but I've just not taken any notice whatsoever.
Yeah. I've been through that too. Yes, totally. Yeah. Or you're so busy just letting Google Maps tell you where to go with a headphone on or, a Bluetooth on that you're not actually taking any notice where you're going. And then if you haven't got Bluetooth, you can't get there.
Well, it's funny actually. Do you know, I'm real old school about this. And don't you laugh. But I'm very proud of myself. I will actually stop on the side of the road and get my map book out. I've got the nav lady in my car. But it's like, that's cheating,
No, it's not.
I love sitting there, and I turn that book upside down to the way that I'm actually going. And because
how old is that book? They don't even make them anymore.
I know. It's probably got road. There's probably half the time the road's not even there.
That's so funny.
It's such a skill. But it's a skill, I think, that the young ones will never have.
Reading a map. Well, you still have the map and the GPS.
GPS. They're not reading it. They're just listening to where someone says turn left, they turn left.
Maybe, but I read the map as well. I mean, because it tells me, by reading the map, I know long before she's telling me what to do. And I can't, my only complaint with it is since I bought my new phone, I can't turn it into a male voice. I have to listen to this female all the time.
I think I've got a lady in the car as well, but I don't turn her on. I don't know. I think I turned the volume right down because one day it gave me a heck of a fright. It suddenly said, warning, 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 warning. I'm like, my God, what? And there was a camera coming up.
Oh,
and
my goodness, it was telling
me
where
the speed cameras are.
Okay.
But I got such a fright because I was in an area I didn't really know, and it was just, oh, my God, what's going on? So I thought, no, turn you off.
Well, mine doesn't do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cheating. It is cheating.
But I might have to start turning that one on and using it a bit more because I think either that or I might have to get some glasses because those map books, those content, they're tiny. And at night now, it's right during the day,
yeah.
But at night,
yeah.
Can I see those little words in there?
As soon as the light starts dropping, visibility and reading becomes a major issue. I get so cross with it. I have 32 pairs of glasses in my house as of yesterday, just so that I can make sure that I've always got a pair of glasses and the frustration doesn't set in.
Are you on glasses or are you still on
$2 ones.
The $2 glasses.
Yeah, $2 ones. I went and did the whole optician thing to make sure that I was doing all the right thing with my eyes and spent $150 on optician produced glasses and they were terrible. The $2 ones were far more effective than the ones they gave me.
And you can get some quite funky ones now. Mm. Those ones you got on today are pretty funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they break, you don't worry about them. You just chuck them away and use one of the other 32 pairs that you've got.
One for the car, one for that handbag, one for the other handbag.
I have them everywhere.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I am such an impatient person, and if I can't read something, I get so cross. So I go, okay, the only way you're going to stop yourself from stress with your eyes is just have glasses everywhere. So that's what I have.
It's quite funny, though. You can almost get away with it these days. And I was watching one of my friends the other day, and on your phone how you can sneakily make the font go bigger?
Yeah.
You used to have to kind of... Your arm needed to be longer and longer, and now she just sneakily put her font up. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, you don't even need to sneakily do it now. You just need to wipe your finger across it, and the font comes up bigger and goes down. Well, on mine it does.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Look at those. All those little tricks, eh? They're helping us be vain as we are. I had a friend like that, though, once. She went to get glasses. She was so horrified that she needed them, and she lives in Remmers. So for any of you outside of Auckland, that's one of the posh places in Auckland. She looked around. She snuck into the shop, made sure nobody was watching, did that. She wouldn't go to the shop till she made sure there was nobody that would know her.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Shop. Would you believe it?
How crazy is that? No, that's...
Funny how we go, though, eh?
Yeah, well... to most people, it's an admittance that you're getting old, and they don't want to admit they're getting old. And so that's the first thing, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I started
wearing mine about 45, I think. And, yeah. But it hasn't got any worse. It just stays like this.
And I think, you know, they're having to use them all the time. Mm. So they've got to kind of go wear out every so often, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I only wear them for eating. If I try and wear them when I go for a walk or something, I just fall over.
That's the wine, Irene.
No, that's the glasses, Mariska. When I'm drinking wine, I don't get up too often.
That is interesting, but you know, you do. You're right. You do have to get over it, because otherwise, you kind of miss you miss all that reading. But I think I was reading something in the Herald the other day. Is it myopia? What's myopia? It's something to do with your eyes, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the kids get in it because they're on the screen all the time.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And I was listening to the guy saying that a lot of these children that are getting myopia, they will be totally blind first in life, and there is nothing to remedy it. There's nothing they can do about it.
Wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
I think that's shocking. Yeah.
And I do know too, sometimes, and I think our two sisters, two sugars sister Kim and I talked about this, the screen at night and the brightness of the screen having a huge impact, and also a huge impact on our sleep patterns as well. But yet we carry on, don't we?
Nobody seems to be stopping their kids from doing it, even though this is, you know, it's too much. They get it from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night, and they're saying just cut back. That's all they need to do is cut back, but it's not happening.
Do you think our eyes will, I've forgotten the word.
Evolve into something. Well, by the sounds of it, I mean, how about this? I just watched this amazing film last night, Pacific Rim. Probably not. We'll probably be we'll evolve in a way that we can survive without eyesight.
Hey, there's an interesting thought to finish on. Do you reckon, what are our listeners thinking out there? Which way are we going to evolve? Are our eyes going to change, or are we just going to live in a dark world and work like that? Why don't you share your thoughts and head to our Facebook page, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.